Hi, and welcome back to the Best Kept Secrets podcast. I'm so sad that I'm a couple of episodes in and I still don't have a name for you guys. So please, if you have a suggestion of what I should be calling you guys at the beginning and during these episodes, please let me know, because right now I don't have any. But I'm so happy to have you back again for yet another episode of the Best Kept Secrets podcast. Today we'll be talking about something that a lot of us love, and that's money. Money, 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 money. I initially thought of doing this episode with someone, with a guest, but I was like, you know what, let me just share what I know, the knowledge that I have about money, and then maybe in the next season we will have a guest. And I figured, you know, I'm not a financial expert, I didn't go to school for that, and so I can't tell you where to invest, what to do and all of that, but I can share on the psychology of money, because that's what I am more well versed in. So yeah, let's get right into it. So what is my experience with money, bro? I think ever since I was an adult, maybe a young adult, maybe in uni, I remember just like being one of those people who didn't like depending on anyone for money, including my parents. So I remember I had a side hustle in uni where I used to sell like my old clothes, or I'd sell like clothes from Gikomba, just so I can have a little bit of my own money to spend on top of what my parents were already giving me. And then I transitioned out of uni and I got straight into working, and I don't think my parents were giving me any sort of money at that point. And then I transitioned again now into actually being an adult where I'm paying rent and I have a house and bills to pay and all of these things. And I think my parents only supported me maybe in the beginning, maybe 2-3 months. And then from then on, it was just like, yeah, like I was literally thrown in the deep end. And I was like, yeah, now you have to pay your own rent, you have to pay your bills, you have to pay your school fees on top of that. This is when I was doing my master's, and at this time I'm maybe like 23, and what the heck do I know about money at 23? You know what I mean? And one of the things that I really, really, really don't like about our current education system is that no one teaches you about these things. No one teaches you about money. No one tells you. I mean, we're taught about like how much the cost of stamps is, but no one tells you like how you should do your monthly budget, how you should account for your expenditure, what percentage of your expenditure you should be saving, and what you should be spending, and what percent is your rent meant to be. Like, it's just, you know, why are we not being taught these things in school? So of course I was thrown in the deep end and I didn't know what to do. And I remember there are many months that I lacked rent and I didn't know how I was gonna pay. There are many months that I was like, okay, I need to pay my fees for this semester. I don't know how I was gonna pay, but somehow I think just by the grace of God, I found a way. But I think when I started actually being conscious about money was a couple of years ago, maybe last year. I think, yes, last year. That's when I started being conscious about my money. Because what happened was, when I transitioned from that phase of lacking a lot and like worrying a lot about like paying my bills, paying my rent, paying my fees and all of these things, I now went into just like being so frugal with my money and not wanting to spend money whatsoever, because I'm like, I can't go back to that place where I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills or my fees and any of those things. And then it got to a point now last year when I'm in therapy and I was going through a season of lack where I had now gone back to that place of like, how am I gonna like make these things work? And it was really affecting my mental health. It was really affecting my mood and everything. And so we went through this in therapy. And my therapist asked me a question that I would love for all of you guys to ask yourself this question. She asked me, what is your story about money? what story do you tell yourself about money, and where do you think this story originates from? And a lot of us, the story we tell ourselves about money comes from our childhood, comes from how we saw our parents viewing money, how we saw our parents spending money, or how they reacted when they had money, how they didn't, how they reacted when they didn't have money. Those are the stories we have taken and we have ran with in our adulthood, and that doesn't have to be the same story that you keep telling yourself in your adulthood, right? So we went through just layers and layers of, okay, how did my parents act when they had money, when they didn't have money? How did that affect us as a unit? How did that affect them as individuals? And has that shaped how it's affecting me currently? And we realized that the reason I was being so upset at just not having the money and all of these things is because that's how I saw my parents react. That's how you know, I saw them acting back then. And that's, I was like, this is normal. And so she's telling me that, imagine, Sharon, not everyone acts like this. And I'm like, girl, you lying. Like, I just can't believe that there are people who are who don't have these extreme emotions about lacking money. So that's when I started going through a lot of introspection about the psychology of money. And then I ended up reading the book, The Psychology of Money. And I think I even posted it on my Instagram. If you follow me, if you don't, my name is on Instagram, is Sharon K. Mwangi. Follow me there as well. So I posted and I was like, yeah, you guys, get on this book. It's really great. One of the things that really stands out in that book, I'll share many things, but one of the things that stands out in that book is basically just the story you tell yourself about money. So do you have a lack mentality? Do you have an abundance mentality? Are you overly optimistic about money? Do you always think that you're going to fail? What is your mindset about money? And I recently watched a TikTok by Yvonne Origi, and she was saying how she was on her third season of Insecure. And Insecure is a big show, and she was making a lot of money, but she was still living in the same house, the little tiny house that she had been living in even before she got on Insecure. So this is 3 years, three seasons into Insecure. She's being paid a lot more, but she's just in this tiny little house, and she's clearly outgrown the place. And Lawrence from Insecure came to visit her, and he was like, I know how much you're being paid. You don't have to keep living here. You know that, right? And she was just sharing how she had such a lack mentality that she was just I know I'm making a lot more, but I just want to stay here because I can't see, I just can't go back to that place of, I've now increased my rent, my expenditures and all of these things, and then I have nothing again. And this also, I watched one of my friends go through this as well, where she got a much better paying job, but she was so hell-bent on staying in her old house. And this house that was not even serving her anymore, it was a lot further than where her current now new job is. And I was just like, sis, it's okay for you to level up. It's okay for you to move out of that house. It's okay for you to spend more money because you're making more money. And she was just like, I just can't fathom the idea of spending more money, and we realize this because she's been operating from a place of lack. So you need to ask yourself, are you operating from a place of lack? Because there's a lot of abundance out there for you to tap into, but if you're always holding back, you're never going to be able to tap into that abundance. So I feel like I had the same struggles as well, where I was just like, I know what it feels like to struggle. I know what it feels like to not have anything. And now that I'm having a little bit of something, let me hold on to it. And I was holding on to it so much that I wasn't even allowing myself to experience this new level that I was currently at. And I think that's something that I've been struggling with for years, because I think we are taught how to deal with failure. We are taught to expect failure. We are taught when you fail, it's okay. Take it as a lesson. get yourself back up, try again. But we're not taught how to succeed. We're not taught what to do when you're making more money, when you succeed. Like how do you process those feelings of success? How do you process those feelings of, okay, I'm actually like not an imposter, I'm actually doing well, I'm actually like, you know, maybe money is actually something that I deserve and all of these things. So I think if we talked more about, okay, when you're succeeding, when you have an abundance, what do you do with that abundance? It's much better than always just talking about the negative. When you fail, when you don't have anything, how do you prepare for failure? How do you prepare for loss and all of these things? I think it's equally important for us to talk about success and being in your abundance and what you do in those moments of abundance as well, right? So I had to shift my mindset to an abundance mindset where I was like, you know what? I've only scratched the surface. There's a lot more that I can do with money. And I was like, you know what? My parents' story doesn't have to be my story. How I watched other adults act with money as a child doesn't have to be my story. I can write my own story and my own beliefs about money and all of that, right? So, and I realized something else about just like the lack of knowledge and the lack of information about how to process money as an adult just like led me to make so many horrible mistakes when I was younger. Because I think I even shared in one of the other episodes how my mom was gracious enough and kind enough to give me some money to start up a business. And because I didn't know how to act with money, I just spent it all in a span of like 2 weeks. And I can't even tell you what I spent the money with, because no one had told me what to do with this money. No one had told me that I should be saving, that I should be investing, that I should be, you know, how to spend money. No one told me all of these things. So, and at that same time, I'm also like, I also don't know how my rent is going to be paid next month, but I have this money and I'm spending it on nonsense. So I think I now, like I was saying earlier, I think last year is when I started being a bit more conscious about like my relationship with money, my beliefs surrounding money, where are they coming from? And then I started to now change those mindsets, change those shifts, start telling myself new stories that I have come up with, not what my parents, not what society expects me to do. One of the other things that I read from The Psychology of Money is, which helped with my business, was one, just like being okay with things never going right all the time. And then two, which is something that has been consistent all through the book, it's about time and how time is actually a lot more important than money, and how you can use time to work for your money, basically. And one of the things, maybe I can read it for you. One of the things that the book says, it says, use money to gain control over your time, because not having control over your time will drag on your happiness. And it just talked about how there are so many rich people in the world, a lot of wealthy people in the world, but then they don't have control over their time, and then they end up becoming very unhappy people. And a lot of rich people are actually very unhappy. And he was just saying that the author was saying how there can be a fine balance between having control over your time and being wealthy. Because I think a lot of people, when you get wealthy, you don't have any control over your time, because money and your job or whatever it is you're doing is controlling your life. And he was even sharing this story how, for kids especially, as parents, you think that your kids are going to remember the fancy car you bought them, or the toy, or the trip, or all of these things. But kids, what kids remember is the time that you spend with them. For me, I remember my parents were both very busy when we were growing up, but Sundays were always days that we'd spend together no matter what. We must go somewhere on Sunday as a family. And we used to go to City Cabanas, and Eureka, and like I remember all these places because there were such monumental times that I spent with my parents. I don't remember the dolls I had or the things that I played with or any of those, like my fancy bike or whatever. Like the things that like stand out to me are the memories and the time that I spent with my parents. So you need to be able to make money give you control over your time, because time cannot be reversed, time cannot be taken back, time cannot be added onto your life, but money always comes and goes. And I honestly, I'm one of those people who believe money can buy you happiness. Please, let's not lie to each other. Money can buy you happiness. But also, I think another very important factor in life is time, and how you spend your time, and how you make money give you more time, give you more control over your time. So that's also a very important thing that I learned from the psychology of money as well. And then lastly, what I think is actually my best kept secret. I mean, I've shared a lot of my money secrets, and I gave a disclaimer that I'm not going to share and tell you to invest here or spend here or do any of that, because that's not my forte. But what I think is my best kept secret about money is actually something that I learned from the Bible. And I remember when I had just come back from my friend's wedding. My friend had a wedding in Nigeria a few months ago. And I came back, and I usually like to be frugal with my money, because that's how I feel like what I've been called to do in this specific season is to be frugal with my money. And I like to save a lot more than I spend, just because, and I'm not saving towards, I am saving towards a specific thing, but I'm also saving towards nothing. But I am very frugal with how I spend my money. That's how I prefer to spend my money. So I came back from Nigeria and I had some dollars. So I had changed my money and I had some dollars with me. And so I go to church, I think, maybe 2-3 days after I had come back from Nigeria. So the plan was to go to church, and then I leave church, and then I pass by Junction because there's a bureau there, and I was going to change back the money. And then I even knew what I was going to spend this like dollars that I had on. So as I'm in church, I just hear like Holy Spirit, God telling me, give the dollars. And I'm just like, no, I have plans for these dollars. I want to do some things with these dollars. Do I really have to give it? I have some money on M-Pesa. Can I give that instead? And I keep hearing it over and over again. Give the dollars, give the dollars, give the dollars. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. I guess I can give the dollars. So I remove them out of my bag and I put them in the envelope for giving, and I give it. So as I'm on my Uber ride back home, I'm just thinking about those dollars, and I'm like, man, I miss those dollars. I could have done this and this and this. And man, like, God, did I really have to give those dollars? I was just like, okay, fine. I mean, they're gone. There's nothing I can do about it. And I felt so convicted for that. And then I think that same week, I watched a sermon. And coincidentally, by Stephanie Ike, who is one of my favorite pastors ever. And she was sharing about stewardship. And she was saying that the problem with a lot of us is that we think we're in control of our lives. We think that everything we have is ours, and we've been put on this earth as stewards. And a steward is basically like a manager. You're just here to manage some things, but all of these things belong to God. Let me even read for you the definition of a steward. A steward is, this is a Google definition of a steward. A steward is like a supervisor or a manager. You look after someone else's property. So basically, every single thing you own belongs to God. You're just a manager. You're just looking over his property. The house you live in, the car you drive, the earth, the animals, the ocean, everything is his. You're just a manager. Even your children are not yours. Those children have been given to you to steward over. You're just a vessel over these children's lives, these children's lives, and they have a whole life ahead of them. They are meant to live. They have a purpose beyond being your child. Even your husband, your wife, your partner, you're just a steward over them. You're just like a manager over this person, but they have a whole other purpose that they are meant to live, a whole other direct link between them and God, and you're just a steward. And then I realized, you know what, even the money that I have, the money that I have worked for, I am just a steward. The reason that I even have money in my account, the reason I even had those dollars to be able to spend or give, is because God has accorded me with opportunities to make this money. If he hadn't accorded me with any of these opportunities, I wouldn't have even been able to fly to Nigeria and go to that wedding. I wouldn't have been able to afford it, right? So when I started looking at this money thing as me just being a vessel, just being a steward over it, I stopped holding it with so much I stopped looking at it like I own it, because I really don't, you know. And even this reminds me the story of in the Bible about the three servants, and how when the master was leaving, he left each one of them a treasure, and two of them went and multiplied the treasure, and one of them kept it and buried it. And when he came back, he was like, yeah, master, like, I kept it, I dug it into the earth, I kept it, here it is. And the other ones were like, yeah, I went and I multiplied it. And that's how I like to look at money, that this is something that has been accorded to me, this is something that God has given to me, and my work is to just multiply it, and not only multiply it for my own benefit, but even for the benefit of others, even for me to be able to give. And when I give, I don't feel bad about giving, because it was never mine to keep in the first place. So I would say that is my best kept secret when it comes to money. And I think that will even help you understand where you want to how you want to invest your money, where you want to invest it, what is your mindset about saving, and your culture around money, your beliefs about money. So I think it's important for you to restructure these things about money, and stop looking at it as like it's something for you to hold on to, because it's never for you to keep. You're just a steward, you're just a vessel over it, for you to multiply, or for you to help other people, for you to do things with it. And also, again, in that tangent, I think this also correlates with just like the whole thing in the Bible about the treasures of the earth and us storing up our treasures. And you know, those are things I think about, and I'm just like, imagine when I die. It was nice that when I was alive that I had a nice house and a nice car and all of these things, but then it can't be my everything. You know what I mean? And I think as human beings, we make money our everything. And that's why I was saying earlier that there are a lot of people who have all of these things and they are very unhappy in certain ways. So yes, money can buy you happiness, but there's more to life outside of money. And we shouldn't look at it as a treasure that it's for you to keep or for you to store. Because once you die, see, Nivio, ama, like, and then what? And then what happens, right? So those are my beliefs, those are my opinions, that's my how I view the psychology of money. And you know, all these things are not set in stone. This is what I have come up with, and I would urge you to just also do the same for yourself. Just explore this topic and come up with your own mindset and your own belief systems around this. So yeah, that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for watching, for those who are watching us, and thank you for listening to those who are listening to us. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.